This is a podcast from Minute Media.
And what is up, Peter Peeps? Welcome in to the Sunday post-game edition of the PewterCast presented by BetUS.com. Your number one spot for all of your Bucks news, analysis, takes, hot and otherwise, and plenty more about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm Steve Carney. That's Ren Dax. Ren?
Can I get comfortable?
No, neither can I. I'm kind of jerking around, shaking around. I left my drink over there. I'm going to have to go get it when you're talking one of these times.
I sat on my balls for a second there, too.
Oh, my God.
Do we want to get Manscaped out of the way since I said balls?
Yes. Yes. Right. Since you said balls, we're here. We will take your thoughts on the Bucks 1917 win in Foxborough over the Patriots. The
Thank
greatest.
God, tease that.
Yeah. So, yeah, they got out by the hair on their balls. Let's just put it that way. And so let's get Manscaped out of the way. Manscaped, of course, is one of the partners of the PewterCast, and I have said many times that there are better ways than just using a straight razor down there to get yourself all nice and groomed up. You should use Manscaped and their new lawnmower version 4.0 with their
faster
ceramic blade. I know he's trying to speed me up. Wireless charging, longer battery life, and everything that goes on, of course. It's also part of the performance package 4.0 with the weed whacker and the crop duster, ball deodorant, and a couple of other extra gifts that you get in the performance package version 4.0. And you can get that at a discount thanks to the PewterCast. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code fansided20, and get 20% off of your order and free shipping. Again, that's manscaped.com, promo code fansided20 for 20% off your order and free shipping.
Frickin' right. Refs, man.
Yes. I was gonna ask you the first thing.
Oh my God, the refs.
And neither of us are the type that really bitches about the referees.
Man, I mean, but holy crap. Game. The Bucks got one break on the Mickens punt fumble. Because that would have been a fumble. I don't know about the ruling down thing and all that stuff, but that would have been a fumble. But I swear to God, they could not get out of their own way, and the rest were just helping them out. Like that Richard Sherman first pass interference penalty on third down, barely even touched the guy, gave him a first down. And then Carlton Davis, like, yes, but it was a little ticky-tacky. Like, if you don't pull the person, if you don't make, you know, if you don't make move their body with that arm that goes around over on top of them, which he didn't, that's not called, you know. And then you talked about, explain the one that I completely missed.
Yeah, there were two of them on the Patriots' last drive after the Bucks kicked the field goal to go up 19-17.
Mm-hmm.
There were two different times that the refs screwed up and did not enforce the rules properly. The first one was after Hunter Henry's reception, after the pass interference, which, by the way, shouldn't have been pass interference because Hunter Henry wasn't even looking for the football.
So.
And he just crossed in front of Jordan Whitehead's face. God, that I thought was a bad play. I know, so frustrating. Okay, so after
it was a bad call. I couldn't believe
after
it.
I know. When the national media is calling it a bad call, you know it's a bad call. So anyway, after the pass interference, the next play, Hunter Henry is looking for the ball. He gets the ball, is down. Clock is running.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots get up to the line, and they get called for a false start.
Right.
Now, the rule because the clock is running under 2 minutes, if the offense commits a penalty, you get the 5 yards or whatever for a false start. It's 5 yard penalty. Plus there has to be a 10 second runoff or the offensive team has to use a timeout. They can use a timeout to stop the clock, but there should have been a 10 second runoff after that play. So they were at 1:33 and they actually put a second back on There was no 10-second runoff there. It should have been 123 and the clock running. They stopped the clock and they gave them and they allowed them to keep the timeout. Just absolute nonsense. That was the first one. And then the next play, the very next play, the left tackle flinched. That should have been a false start. It should have been another 5 yards, and it should have been another 10-second runoff.
I know.
They screwed up twice in two separate plays on the final drive.
Three times, if you include the Whitehead.
Three times in four plays. Three missed calls in four plays.
And then the Donovan Smith hands to the face on the bomb.
Yes, and I said that
Chris Collinsworth. Like, I've never seen it called like that.
Well, it's funny. I said.
And Chris Collinsworth, Jesus.
Yeah, offensive.
Talk about Mac Jones love. Oh my God. He's blowing these guys up. And at the time, they've scored 7 points.
I know.
I'm like, Mac Jones. He's been sacked 5 times. He's thrown a pick, and there's 7 points on the board.
And by the way, the 7 points were not him. It was a running play.
Jesus.
But anyway. We had those plays go on, and it was like, are you kidding me? My wife is bringing me over my drink. Thank you.
Nice. Clutch move. Just thank God we won that game, because it had really nothing to do. I mean, I didn't want to hear the narrative, well, now Belichick won. Was it Brady or Bell? Like, you know, I don't care about that. It's still going to go on because it was a lot closer than people thought. But it's just all those Patriots fans that I know could have just, like, rubbed it in my face now. Oh, yeah, but when you played us, we still won. Like, you got Brady, but you can't beat us. And I'm just so happy that I don't have to hear that for the rest of my life.
They went into Foxborough with everything against them. The weather, the referees.
The like
media. Everything was against them.
Chris Collinsworth was against them. People were dropping, like, flies. Oh,
yeah,
my
they lost.
God.
They lost Carlton Davis
on a punt return. Like, oh my God, like Jesus.
I don't know what they're going to, do.
50-50 on that. Like, should Carlton Davis even be out there? Well, he got hurt. So obviously the answer is no, but I understand why I have him out there, because all the guys that are, could kind of take his place. This is a big game, you know, like the chance of Carlton Davis blowing his hammy on punt coverage, or I guess punt return, you know, it's pretty slim. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that one.
I was shocked about that. You know, everything that went on with it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. The fact that they were able to come through and get this together, I was like, thank God.
Yeah, it's just thank God. Like, I'm just like, oh, I just didn't want to have to deal with everyone else in the world but me.
Yeah, we got a couple of super chats out here.
Yeah, we do.
So I definitely want to get to those here. Christopher Taylor with your phone 99. Thank you so much, Chris, for that. Can we get some fire? Can we fire some cannons? Bucks win. I can tell you that Gene Dekaroff was definitely screaming it. I just want to get some cannons fired. So that by the way, it was great to see this morning. See TJ Reeves in Atlanta
not.
With Gene, with yeah. Gene on his way up. That was pretty
TJ's
funny.
The worst.
I like TJ.
Okay, I don't like TJ.
But it was. But I saw TJ in the Atlanta airport with Gene on their way up to Providence, where the Bucks were staying. They don't
what
stay
were you
in
doing
Boston.
At Atlanta airport.
No. TJ put it out on Twitter that he was sitting in Atlanta. He was sitting in Atlanta airport with Gene. Because they were on the same flight going from Atlanta to Providence.
Yeah.
So, and then Kyle Driver, thank you for your $2 super chat as well. Bucks win. Thank you so much for those of you that do super chat on that. So much, much love and thanks for that. I do like the, how about the love for Nick Folk of all people?
I had no idea he hadn't missed a kick since like week two of last year.
But he had all the plant leg issues.
Yeah, but he folked it, man. It was just like, Nick, you got to be kidding me. Like, that guy hasn't missed. He came through for us in the end.
Yeah, that's right. He folked up.
He was the main reason we lost against the Patriots, was it 3 years ago?
Yep.
Yep. How about we bring some calls in?
Yes, let's bring some calls in. Again, the link is in Twitter or is in the comments on YouTube. Definitely want to take part of that, and we will definitely get you in there. And Ren just dropped it in there again. So who we got first?
We got Nofu.
Nofu's in the house.
How you doing? Boy. Oh my God. Are you as freaking emotional wreck as we are?
No, I was very calm. I was very calm.
All right, Nofu.
Very calm, my ass.
Corey's up. You're out. No, go ahead.
I lost my mind when he doinked the kick. But, well, before I do this, because I get a lot of people who are like, are you booking for life or whatever? I wanted to show you guys this. Something I have, I always say I'll pull out. But from my grandfather, the 1978 team. City.
Nice.
Right there's Leroy. But just want to at least have that as proof. That
okay. I didn't know you were catching video. Crap from Felipe on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, all the time. But three different things here, really. One, the good stuff, seeing Tryon, my God.
Two.
Kid is coming on.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fast.
Yes.
Fast. And they were talking about how he wants to play fast, and they told him after last week's game, you don't need to play fast. And it was that play, he got the sack. He didn't play fast. He played it slow and then took the sack.
Yeah. Thankfully you had Vita Vea taking on the entire left side of the New England offensive line, which was not even a challenge for number 50.
Not even. Sherman, I mean, I feel like his presence was definitely felt. I mean, we kept, I don't care. It's an NFL team that does not have an anemic offense like the Jets, per se. We kept an NFL team to 16 points. Like,
yeah.
They did pass on us. But the thing is I talked to my dad about this. He's a lifelong Browns fan, so he knows misery better than us. It's a different league. The teams are going to pass. They're going to catch. They're going to score points, get passing yards, especially on a team like us. But I feel like Sherman's presence definitely was felt. I mean, people always talk about how he could lose an edge because he's older. And even Sherman said in his interviews this week, like, my game's always been my brain. Like,
right.
There's only been like one DB in the past 30 years that ran like faster than a 4.3 that has a name, household name brand. And that was Primetime. Like, they're all about 4.5, 4.6. But I felt like his presence definitely was felt. But one thing I'm getting tired of when it comes to teams throwing on us is the announcers and people like Mac Jones, look how great he's doing. It's like, y'all, we're down our top three DBs. We also, Winfield is now have concussion.
Right.
You're throwing against practice squad DBs. It's not like you're going up against.
And not only that, you're not throwing it past the first down marker. You're throwing it 6 yards downfield. Like Mac Jones was his 30th completion in a row. You haven't thrown it past the on first. Your longest attempt was 8 yards. Like, I mean, you know.
And the longest pass play by y'all was a trick play. It wasn't even thrown by you. It was thrown by some other dude.
Right. Like, yeah. You know, it's like it started out with, you know, teams trying to get out on the edge. And then the Rams sort of did the middle of the field short passes. And that's what the Patriots did today. You know, it was like inside the numbers short passes, you know, all game long. And they were marching down the field. And you're like, well, okay, you know, as a Bucs fan, I'm like, I can live with that. Like, I don't know if Mac Jones can march the field, you know, march them down 12 plays, 7 yards at a time. And then, you know, a holding penalty would come up and be like, okay, cool. Then all of a sudden a phantom interference call on Richard Sherman. It's like, what is happening here? Like, I'm still so frustrated about the way the refs called that game. At halftime, I was actually outside, like, you know, chain smoking a couple of heaters going, I'm going like, if we lose this game, you're not going to be able to convince me that the refs weren't in on it. Like, we're not told to keep this game close. Like, you could not convince. And I've never, ever said that.
Sunday Night Football, of course it's going to be close.
Well, I mean, I told you guys last week, like, I agree with you. Like, even just ignoring everything else, that last drive, I mean, starting off with the pass interference, like, if that's how they're going to call pass interference, like, our DBs just need to run in front of a DB and have them run into them. as they're, you know, he was trying to go for the ball, didn't even see the receiver. Receiver hits him. Ball's not even going to that receiver, so it's uncatchable.
And it was 3 yards behind him. What happened to the uncatchable? Right. What happened to the uncatchable?
Right, exactly. And the false start, bad. Like, it was all bad. And obviously, you know, came out in our end in the favor. But, I mean, I've always said, you know, I put all my energy away from complaining about single games, and it still blows my mind that refs are not full-time. The NFL makes so much money enough to give the middle finger to the federal government when they threatened to take away their copyright for the when the Redskins were called the Redskins, and the government was like, okay, never mind. Like, they have that much money, but they can't have full-time refs to practice in the offseason to be able to do these things. They're still part-time. They're not full-time. So it still blows my mind, and it just I just feel like they don't really care as much about that because you can't complain about it. I still want to see a very rich player just come out one day and say, screw it, find me, these refs suck. I just want to hear it. Just once.
Yeah, because there's nothing right. I know they get graded and stuff, and that's who makes the Super Bowl. But there's no repercussions. You know, there's no accountability for the referees for, like, they're not going to get fired. You know, they're not.
And the NBA does that, like, that last, like, whatever minute thing of what penalties were missed. But that's an 82 game season. We have 17.
Yeah,
every game means so much more. So it's. I mean, I agree with y'all. I mean, I'm just glad we came out on it. But the reason why I wasn't really stressing is because it's one, again, like we're on practice squad DBs. It started raining. That's when I was like, this is going to be a close game. But a lot of people keep forgetting Bill is a defensive guru. See what he did to the Rams. I mean, he completely just destroyed the mentality of the Rams in that Super Bowl, and they just never were the same. Mm-hmm. Like, completely into them. So I knew that it could be rough. He knows Tom Brady. He knows our offense. So I'm lucky we got that win. But one of the things that I really did like seeing was Evans, not the catches, because we all know Evans can catch. Something that's always bugged me about Evans is it doesn't seem like much emotion flows through him, if that makes sense. Like,
but unless Marcus Lattimore is there.
Yes. Yes. But there was a 3rd and 15. It was that 3rd and 15 where we did a.
He almost punched that ref in the mouth.
Dude, that's exactly it. Like, I was like, dude, is he going to get ejected? Because he got this close to the ref's face. Like, he was about to
The ref, like put his forearm up in between him and kind of, like, move back, son.
That's what I want to see from you, Evans. I want you, because that guy did taunt him. He literally was crouched over him and was like, ugh, in his face. So they didn't call that taunting play at all. Like, he literally, like, the definition of a taunt. You're over his body on the ground, and you literally get in his face and flex. But I was happy to see that. The only two things that I definitely want to hear y'all's deep opinion on. One, Pinion and Sucka. Now, I'll give them a pass to this game because it was raining. But here's the thing. So after the second week, when they had those, like, they were amazing, they both went on the Pat McAfee show, and Pinion was like, I want to be Pro Bowl punter this year. This dude is 256.6. Like, he's a monster of a man. You know, he's already showing it off. And then next week, he botches, like, two punts, I think.
Yeah.
Suckup's missing field goals. Again, raining. I'm not going to hold that against them today. But we don't talk about that much. And Pinion used to be, you know, a field flipper. But I don't know how y'all feel about Pinion and Suckup right now. Like, Suckup is automatic, but he's now missed in two different games back-to-back.
Right.
And Pinion's now, again, with the rain, I understand, but botched two different punts.
Right. Well, here's my thing on Suckup. I think Suckup's going to be fine. I don't have a problem with it. You know, as a Bucks fan, and this isn't—it's not really the best way to look at it. But as a Bucks fan, like, I know what it looks like to have a bad kicker.
Suckup
ain't it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where's Kyle Brinza when we need him?
Yeah,
like,
bad kickers.
You know, growing up, like, the best NFL kickers, like, would be like 72%. Now you can't make a team unless you're 80. Like, they're just getting better and better and better. So I'm not worried about Suckup, especially, you know, like, everyone's going to miss one every once in a while. And I know it's been two games in a row, and I really don't care about the rain. You got one job, dude. Like, practice in the rain. Turn the water hose on and have it sprinkle on you.
And it wasn't 50 yards in the rain. It was, what, 36? 38?
No, I think it was 30. It was the 38er he missed.
Yeah. It wasn't even 40.
Yeah. So you miss kicks. I mean, I'm until he costs us a game, you know, I'm not I shouldn't say that. It does. It's not worrying me yet. Put it that way. It's not worrying me yet. Yes, missing two and two games is obviously not ideal, but I'm not on it yet. And I just kind of think Pinion is just sort of a little bad stretch right now. He might have been the worst player on the field in the Rams game. I mean, he cost the team yardage and points. I don't think the Patriots had bad field position until he finally did flip the field coming out of the second half, I think it was. Might have been the second possession of the second. I think it was the second possession when we, you know, when, yeah, because we went backwards and then he kicked it to midfield and, like, they're starting on their, like, our 38, you know, because they had a good punt return and then there was a fumble and we got it, but we didn't do anything with it. So we finally flipped the field.
Kicking it out of bounds on the starting kickoff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but I have to think that that was something that was told to him. You know, because we've seen him drive the ball through the back of the end zone.
Oh, that's all he does. Yeah,
1,000 times, 1,050 times. You know, and it's never even been close to over there. And he, you know, he doesn't shank it. He doesn't pull it. He doesn't slice it. He doesn't. You know, he just puts it somewhere within the field goal, you know, post, and then he just puts it out of the back of the end zone. So I think that was told to him. Might have backfired a little bit. No big deal. He almost put the ball down on the 1-inch line again. You got to remember, he put the Rams down. I think he's had two down inside the 5 already this year. So, you know,
off the corners, yeah.
Yeah, so good with the bad. I actually tweeted out as soon as he kicked it out of bounds opening kickoff. I said, well, at least there's no drop-off for Pinion from last week. still staying crappy. But I'm okay with that. Like, my deep thoughts are, like, and it's a lot of it's probably because the endorphins are popping off my brain because we won. I'm just like, don't worry about it. We won. Yay. I don't whistle past the graveyard here, but I'm not worried about it right now. It's not what I'm looking at, you know, if I'm looking, you know, like, we got to start with the secondary. Like, Jesus, man.
Well, I got one more thing, and then I'll leave y'all with my Nofu's notes. Like, last week, I left y'all something.
Notes. I like that.
And I try to go through my notes with y'all quickly because I don't want to be that guy that sits here forever talking about the same thing. But one thing I noticed, gentlemen, that other teams do to us a lot, and you see it, I just noticed it today at this game, that the Bucs aren't doing it a lot, is using up hurry up and no huddle offense when it's not necessary.
Right.
So those are obviously clock management, but when it's in the middle of the first quarter, you're on your second drive, not allowing the other team to get their defensive players off the field because you're not substituting is a huge boon. And we have Tom Brady, he's a great offensive mind. Like, he can audible. I don't see us using it outside of, we need to get down there now and score.
Right.
And that's kind of, I don't know if it's worrying to me, but it's interesting that we're not doing that, especially with how anemic our offense has looked the past two games. I mean, I know that sounds kind of crazy, seeing how we won this one and we did score over, what, I think we scored over 20, 30 points last week? No, we didn't.
No.
24, still, like, right at the end, and busted up Gio for it.
But when you have Antonio Brown, Cameron Brake, O.J. Howard, I'm going to keep Rob out because he's hurt. You know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller's out. When you have all these, Leonard Fournette, who's finally falling forward while he's running, when you have all these guys, we easily could have packages out there. We have so much talent where we can keep guys off the field for a while. So I don't know. I mean, and this is going to lead into my notes, but I mean, how do you guys feel about that? I don't see us using hurry up because it is a tool when you don't need to use it, to use it to take advantage of the opponent.
Yeah. Steve?
You know, for me, you know, I think that because of the amount of substitution that, you know, BA and Byron Leftwich like to do on offense, you know, whether you're going with bringing in a third or a fourth wideout, whether you're going to bring in a second tight end, you know, I think that they do enough substitution that I don't see them using the same personnel, you know, 3-4, you know, times in a row before huddling up and getting the substitution off, I think, or and then substituting. I think they like to be able to substitute guys almost on every play. You know, it helps to try and keep guys a little fresher. And especially when you're looking to change packages, you know, whether you're going to bring in a Scotty Miller or a Tyler Johnson to go four wide, or if you're going to bring in a OJ Howard or a Tanner Hudson to go two tight end or three tight end. Then switching out, going Rojo v Leonard Fournette. I think that Byron wants to do too much substituting, that it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go no huddle when you don't have to go no huddle. So I think that might be the only way that you go that route.
I think they're saving it.
You think they're saving it?
I think they're saving it. I don't think like they necessarily have to, I think they're saving it because we saw nothing of Gio Bernard whatsoever till we needed him against.
He's still hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. He didn't dress. Yeah. He wasn't.
Yeah. He didn't even make the flight to New York or to New England.
So, yeah. So I think they're saving it. You know, it's something that that's in their repertoire, so to speak. But they're working on other things, and I think that this team. I always thought that was kind of stupid. You know, it's like, well, why aren't they doing this and why aren't they doing that? And then, like, we always used to complain about the play action and motion and all that stuff last year. Remember,
shotgun with Gruden. Sorry.
You know, but we learned that Tom Brady didn't even really know the playbooks and was struggling with the plays. So they're trying to keep it basic. And as we went along, we saw more play action, we saw more motion. Now, like, they're motioning Cameron Brate just 2 or 3 yards just to get a little tip off to see where the defense is, you know. Same thing, they'll pull Godwin in for just like 2 yards and have him go back out to see what the defense is doing. So I think it's coming. I think they'll pull it out when they think they need it. And it's not that – I really shouldn't say they're saving it for like the second half of the year or the playoffs or a big game. I think when they think that it's going to help them in their matchups – against the team they're playing, they'll pull it out. Because, again, like, we didn't see anything of Gio Bernard the first two games, and then he played a ton against the Rams because they thought that was the best way to attack him. So,
well, I hope we're all saving it. But I'll leave you guys this. And, again, it's something that I go on a lot of different forums watching the game, the Reddit forums, everything. And there is a lot of negativity from the Bucs fans, like, you know, we're literally in the third quarter. This game's over. I'm heading home. Our defense can't stop anything. You know, why are we doing this? Just questioning the coaches. And for the longest time, and when I come up here on y'all's show, for anybody who's watching, I know I don't know jack shit because I don't know anything. And before last year, I believed I could possibly know better. And then the Detroit Lions game happened where they couldn't have their head coach. They had what? Their quarterback's coach is the head coach. The wide receiver's coach is the offensive coordinator. And some analyst dude who worked there but never actually was a coach is their defensive coordinator. And we had to put Blaine Gabbert in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And then the Saints game this year against, who was it? The team that blew them out when they couldn't have any other coaches. So, guys, trust their decision-making. They won us a Super Bowl in 1 year with Tom Brady. Maybe they know what they're doing. And that's my no-foos notes.
All right, man. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Thank you. No, you're good. You guys are good.
All right.
Thanks, no-foo. Yeah, be good, brother. Stuff.
All right, we're going to bring Corey right in. Corey from Nashville. Corey's
in the house.
Big What's Bucks up, guys? Fan. He's on all the pods. He's on all the YouTube channels. Corey.
What's up, man?
Let's hear it.
This is one thing I'm never going to do. We all been Buccaneers fans, right?
Yep.
For decades now, right?
Yep.
Never going to fucking complain about a win, okay? I had my notes queued up had we lost this game. At the top of the list, we're going to be the refs.
Thank you.
Of the list was going to be the refs because
it was so bad.
And I, you know what? The last caller, he told me something I didn't know. I didn't realize referees were part-time.
Yes.
And honestly, that's becoming an issue when you change so many rules of how the game is played. That Jordan Whitehead pass interference, come on, man. Like, I get they have to see things in full speed. But Jordan Whitehead was making a break on the ball because the ball, Hunter Henry wasn't even looking for the ball. And he's making a break on the
Hunter
ball.
Henry.
Like, but now I see why, because they're not properly trained. And honestly, it's really showing up on these national televised games when you're calling pass interference, like the one on Richard Sherman you mentioned earlier. I'm like, dude, Like the dude, I was like, man, the receiver, first of all, N'Keal Harry ran a terrible route. He's supposed to do a comeback route, which for some reason that's the only routes that teams can run on us. He was gonna do a comeback route, and he was so terrible with his route, he threw off Richard Sherman's timing. That's not a pass interference. He's going for the ball. And yeah. Just some positives though, man. I gotta say there I was go. Very impressed with Richard Jones. Sherman. And the secondary. Yeah, Matt. Yeah. Who I look like, Chris. My name is Corey Richardson, not Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth, my God, man. He must have paid him or something before that game. But yeah. I was impressed with our secondary for what we were up against. And Richard Sherman, he's not going to do anything but get better. You got to think, I trust our DB's coach, our defensive coach, when it comes to coaching up our players. And Richard Sherman is very heady. It's not like he got beat on a couple digs, but honestly, we shouldn't have been blitzing on second and 18 and leaving the corner on an island to run a dig route when there's nobody in the middle. Like, that gives the receiver so many options if the blitz doesn't get home. So I didn't even really blame him for those. But just throwing on his side, he was in every play. He made an impact, even had a fumble recovery, and that just lets you know where he was with the ball.
I forgot to complain about that. That wasn't a catch.
No, the first one. Yeah, the first
that
one
wasn't a catch. That would have been the Bucs ball up, what, like 3-0, like inside right the 20.
Deep in Patriots territory.
Jeez.
And it's just, a lot of people say Bill is a defensive guru, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Okay.
Not only did he lose that game, right, but he also gave up over 100 yards rushing to a team that only had through three games 100 yards rushing. So, I mean, we just took what he gave us. I mean, you running, you got seven DBs on the field the entire game. We're not about to just force the ball to throw it because, A, we don't have Jameis back there. That's just, and, you know, I love Jameis, but at the same time, we might have a turnover or two of Jameis's quarterback in this game. It's just, it would have just been that weird of a game. You get what I'm saying? Like, not because he would have made a bad throw. We just had some weird shit happened when Jameis was our quarterback.
Lots of miscommunication early. It looked like, Brate, obviously, I don't know if he should have, but Brady thought he was going to go to the back pylon, and he went to the front one.
Right.
When he had Tyler Johnson, who split the safety in the corner, Brady.
But he's just not fast enough to really.
Brady put the ball sort of like so he should be tailing towards the sidelines.
Oh, okay. And that's why Brady.
And he kind of stopped and did a jump. And, with Brady's facial expression, it makes me feel like.
It was on Tyler.
Yeah, it was on Tyler. It wasn't him like, oh, damn it, I missed it. It was like, what the hell are you doing?
I just want to commend the team's result. Like, we played that game like Super Bowl champions, right? Like,
this is a very great point, Corey. This was a really hard game.
Yeah.
The weather, like
emotions.
You said earlier, emotions.
We wanted it so bad for Tom.
Yeah.
We wanted it so bad for Tom. He wanted it bad, but at the same time, he's human. You know what I'm saying? He was emotional. Let's be honest. Like, it's different. You know what I mean? But our resolve, it was so impressive. Just look, man, and I'm so glad. Two things that are really funny to me. Out of all of our players, the ones that's been in the doghouse is the one that has the only touchdown of the game. Ronald Jones, which is just irony to the fullest. But then maybe our most consistent defensive player in our history, maybe outside of Rondé Barber and Derrick Brooks, most consistent, Lavonte David, he knew that quick pass was coming. And if you saw his reaction after he batted that ball down, he was like, I knew that shit was coming. He essentially, they're not going to talk about it in the media, but I'm pretty sure they talked about it in the locker room. He essentially won that game because I never believed Nick Folk was going to make a 56-yard field goal. I didn't believe that.
Although Collinsworth gave him that game excuse, so his plant legs hurt.
It was short. It was short, and it was tailing left. That's why I hit the post. So even if it would have been straight on, he would have had to put something behind that. In the rain, he's kicking with the rain. Like, it was just too many factors. So Lavonte
kicking
David
with the rain. That's a new one.
It's
usually with
the
wind. Yeah, he's kicking against the rain. Let's just say, but
kicking it against the rain. Lavonte, let me get my Missy Elliott going. Get my big plastic bag.
Lavonte being able to make that play, that's the part of the resolve that I'm talking about. They were they just paying attention to the game plan, people bigging up Mac Jones, and he's throwing five-yard routes. And I'm going to be quick. I'm almost done. And that's what annoyed me about week one and Dak Prescott. Yeah, he had 42 passes completed for 400 yards. Like, guys, I'm sorry. I was watching that game. I was there watching that game. He didn't just, like, air us out. Like, they were throwing – because they didn't have a run game, they was throwing the screens and the quick games to use as their run game. And, unfortunately, we didn't want to oversell it because he still had CD and Amari, so we didn't want to oversell. All right, you want to catch the ball in front of us, we'll rally and make tackles. And we did that for the most part, except for a couple of plays, the third down at towards the end of the game and a couple more plays. But it seems like that's just our defensive strategy right now. But the problem – one thing I do like is our red zone defense. I do like our red zone defense. And I do like the fact that we won the game. We're 3-1. Bucks Nation needs to calm down because we're in uncharted territory because we lose that game. We lose that game.
Yeah.
I've been a fan for 20 years. We lose those games.
We lose that game 10 out of 11 times.
We miss field goals. Times. We have turnovers. We lost to the Rams. Exactly. We're throwing picks. We lost that game to the Rams, but right after that game, I tweeted. I said, look, man, we went up and down the field. I said, look, guys, we're going to lose 99% of our football games on the road if we allow a team six straight scoring drives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
five
just football.
Touchdowns.
Right. Look how terrible the Cardinals are, a talented team, but look how, I don't know if y'all got a chance to watch that game. I was watching it. The Rams were terrible today. Terrible. As if they played played the Super Bowl champs and they gave us our best shot. Just like the Patriots just did tonight. They got blown out by the Saints, who lose to the Giants at home, and then they play us and they play like the Patriots should play. I mean, it's just what's going to happen to us every week. So it's important that we have Super Bowl resolve because there's going to be things that go against us throughout the course of these football games where we have to just breathe and trust the coaching and the scheme. Yep.
I agree with that.
I'm going to let you guys go. My last point is I wonder what's wrong with OJ Howard because some of the plays that we run with our tight ends, I feel like a 4-5, 6-6 tight end would be able to make those plays. Like early in the game, that corner route we ran with Brady, they said Brady, the throw was off. But I feel like at 4-5, I feel like OJ could have got there on that throw. Like
I thought OJ was gonna have a big game.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't think he had a target.
You think about it. Tanner Hudson had more targets than OJ.
Yeah, that's.
Tanner Hudson's not on the team.
Oh, it was McElroy.
I'm sorry. Who was it?
He meant
McElroy.
It's on 88. I always think Tanner Hudson.
But Tom seemed a little off tonight. Just a little, you know. But like I said, he didn't make the bad throw. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't fumble. And honestly, man, he scrambled way more than this dude's amazing. So we got TB12. Our team is on the TB12 mentality. That Super Bowl resolve showed tonight. I'm not going to apologize for a win. Pretty, ugly, whatever you want to call it. I'm a Bucks fan. I'm not going to fucking apologize for a win. I'm not going to get a big head because we won a Super Bowl. We were 7-5. We were 11-5 team that won the Super Bowl last year. So pump your brakes, everybody. Let's watch football and enjoy the growth of this team because guess what? We actually can be even better come December. We can be better than what we were last year with all the resolve that we'll build up and the talent that we'll build up. So that's my take, man. Hey, and do not do the one chip challenge. I died today. Fooling with the loose cannons. Yeah, I died today.
That's because
I went out to L.A. and my best friend that was with me from L.A. is a Saints fan. And they punished me. And they said, it's the only way I can get off the punishment. They made me do it live on the show.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I saw a buddy of mine do the one chip challenge in the media dining at Tropicana Field.
Nope.
That's just awful.
I guess Corey's leaving.
Corey's out of here. That's because he needs to go get some more milk to go along.
Yeah, someone actually, I think it was it, I don't remember what game it was, but we finished it off. We finished off of PeterCast Live. The guy did a one chip challenge live on the show.
Oh, Jesus.
And we just watched him like just suffer. Brent and I kind of dipped out and we left him on the screen just like crying and drinking milk.
Nice.
That's how the show ended. It was just that guy just like
I don't blame you. Yeah. Don't blame me at all. I don't know if we I don't know if we have any more calls, but if we do, I'm going to say hold off just a second because we got to talk about our great sponsor, our presenting sponsor, BetUS.com. I can tell you that I had a bad day. Bad week. Oh yeah, I had a bad day.
Not much of a surprise.
I'm sure
I went 5-0.
I was going to say you had a very good
day. I have not lost on BetUS. I haven't lost.
Yeah, and I'm now 1-8. I'm in really bad.
Did you win any?
I did. I went 0-3.
Oh my god!
Because okay, remember, remember, I took Carolina.
No,
plus
I don't remember. I don't care what your picks are.
I took Carolina plus the 4.5. They lost by 6.
Okay.
I took the Saints on the money line.
Yeah.
So,
did they win?
No, they lost at home to the Giants.
At home.
Yes.
To the Giants.
To the Giants.
All right.
And then I took the Bucks over 28, not realizing it was going to rain.
there's your excuse. What about the other two? Okay.
Oh no,
so,
the other I was horrible at the other two.
Well, so, you're one in what 42?
I'm as Sam Weiss would say 1-8. So whereas Ren is 5-0, so you want to keep following Ren's picks every Friday. Every Friday, Ren puts out his picks, and you can get a hold of those picks and maybe even use them and get some extra money when you're betting on BetUS.com. Of course, BetUS now 27 years on. They are a great presenting sponsor of the PeterCast. They have, of course, NFL and college football coming up here in a couple of weeks. The NHL and the NBA will get going. They've got those games as well. You can also wager on UFC, PGA Tour, the ponies, if you want to get into the ponies.
Mm-hmm. The ponies.
Plenty to go on there. And all you need to do is go to BetUS.com or call 1-800-MY-BETUS and use the promo code PewterC125. If you're watching us on YouTube, you see it there live. You also, if you're listening on the podcast, it's PewterCast without the AST, but instead of AST, put 125, and you get a 125% sign-up bonus. So, for example, if you sign up, use the promo code PeterC125, and you deposit $100, they will give you $125 additional dollars in bonus money. So you'll have $225 to play with. And if you like crypto, it's even better. Just use the promo code PewterC200 and you can get a 200% sign-up bonus. So $100 becomes $300 or however it works out in Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever they're using. For our crypto users, PewterC200, and for our cash guys, PewterC125. Again, BetUS.com, promo code PewterC125. You bet, you win. You get paid with BetUS.
Yeah, I went 5-0 on.
Jesus,
like,
must be nice.
So I did the prop bet with David Mills throwing an interception.
Yeah,
it was a dumb bet. Like I put down 50 and I only won like $22.
You know what? That's I won.
That's
called as close to a sure thing as possible.
But I was looking on the prop bets. I'm like, would I get better odds if like there's like if you'll throw two or more interceptions? And there wasn't a prop bet for that. But at one point in the game, David Mills was 1-for-8 for 3 yards and 2 interceptions.
Ooh.
And he had finished the game with like he was like a, you know he was like 10-for-29 for I don't know. I remember when he hit triple digits or double digits when he got to 11 yards, it was a big deal. But ended up with 3 picks, so I won that one. Then I had the under, the Buffalo-Houston game, and I said, I remember I told you, I'm like, Houston's not going to score.
No,
I just have to hope, I have to have Buffalo doesn't put up over 47.5, and they tried really hard. They put in Trubisky, and then he ran one in to put it at 40 with like 6 minutes left. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to lose this. And one team's going to do the over all by themselves. But so they only won 40-0, so I won that one. Then I had the Ravens straight up beating the Broncos.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And then I
you had the Bucks you parlayed that with the Bucks.
I teased, and then I also teased the Ravens, so they were getting 7, and then I brought the Bucks 7.5 down to a half point, and all I had to do was win. So they did. So I haven't really looked at it, but I put in $50 to start. I put in the PeterCast code, bumped it up to $125, and now I have $700.
There you go.
I haven't lost.
He hasn't lost. So follow Ren's picks. Don't follow my picks. I mean, you can laugh at my. I'll give you my picks every Friday. Even still, even though I'm horrible at it right now, I'm having an awful start to the football season when it comes to wagering. Although I'm doing much better on DraftKings. I've found my groove on DraftKings.
DraftKings isn't a sponsor.
No, I know.
We don't care about DraftKings, but we do care about NoFu coming strong. NoFu.
Another super chat, $4.99. Thank you, NoFu. Does the NFL drug test coaches? Because Steve Belichick looks like he's on the good side. But you know, you got a good shot when Collinsworth goes, oh, there's going to be a bunch of memes about this.
Yeah. He was doing the teeth and the tongue. He's facially animated, very.
Anti-Bill.
And the
anti-Bill.
And the haircut doesn't help either. You know, it just
this thing is so bad.
I'm all up for a good mullet. You know, there's this kid at work who's like the son of somebody who's in there all the time. And he has a mullet and he wears like American flag swim shorts and a mullet. He looks like a little dirt rocker. And I love that kid.
I was gonna
so
say
much.
Joe Dirt.
But
Joe Dirt.
No, but he's awesome. I'm always like, yeah, because he's like 11 and he's running around with a mullet and American flag swim trunks. It's so cool.
That's all I can think of. Joe Dirt. He's got the wig.
So let's sort of break this down, Steve. I'm going to drop the link in chat. If anybody wants to join anyone in chat, just go ahead and click that link. You'll come into the lobby and I'm bringing you up later. Offense. You know, sluggish early, right, man?
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette, like, you know, Corey talked about the run game, about, you know, Bill Joelchek giving up 100 yards to a team that, you know, hadn't made 100 yards in 3 games. But I think they committed to it this week more than any other.
I think the weather was a big part of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so they committed to it. Ronald Jones followed his block, something Leonard Fournette's not too fond of, and basically walks into the end zone. That was good to see. At one point I almost tweeted out, did Chris Godwin get on the plane? And then they threw that screen pass to him, but then he was gone again for like 2 plays in a row. And so he was big on that drive, but Chris Godwin was non-existent. I wonder if that was the guy, because Mike Evans seemed to be able to get open anytime he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime they threw him the ball, he was open.
Yep, and you saw it. I mean, of the 43 attempts, 23 of them went to Mike Evans and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Evans was targeted 12 times, 7 catches for 75 yards. Brown was targeted 11 times, 7 catches for 63 yards, and he should have had a touchdown.
Yeah.
at the end of the game.
I can't believe he went for that on 3rd and 8.
It's like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8.
Yeah, and he goes for the kill shot. And he put it right there. I mean, it was right there.
If Bethel was in the game, if Belichick hadn't used that timeout to get Jones back in the game, because remember, Jones went down with the cramp issue. He was out for a play, came back in, was in for like 2 plays, and was about to come out again. And they were about to bring Bethel back in, and then everything went to hell in a handbasket. With the defense, and Bill just called timeout, and that allowed Jones to get back on. If Bethel was in that game, I think that is a touchdown. But I mean, you look at it, other than Evans and Brown, the only guy that was targeted more than half a dozen times was Cameron Brate.
Yeah, they went to him early, and the connection just wasn't there. You know, and plus he dropped that one. Oh, man.
Oh.
He had some room to run, too.
Yep.
He probably would have got chopped down by the crashing safety because, you know, he has no moves. He has no game with the ball in his hands whatsoever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was going. And then like the little misconnection, and then that floater that Brady threw early that Corey was talking about. He thought maybe OJ Howard would probably, and he probably right, could have ran that down. But
yeah,
I'm still not worried about OJ. But I do hope one of the reporters asks him about this week. You know, where he's at, and you know, with Gronk down, and you know, with I guess I saw a tweet. He's got like a punctured lung and one cracked rib.
He had couple of cracked ribs, a broken rib, and a punctured lung.
Ouch. Yeah, so he won't be back tomorrow. So hopefully Howard will get back into it. I thought the offensive line played really well too.
How about Ali Marpet with a pulling block on the Jones touchdown?
Yeah, just follow Ali. Like, you know, just, and what I liked about it is like Jones didn't try to outrun Ali to the sidelines, which so many, like I watched NFL backs, not just Bucks backs, but do this all the time. Like, the blocks are there for you to be set up. Like, just let the fat guys get out in front. Like, why are you running past two guys that are 330 pounds? Why are you running past them?
Yeah.
Like, just let them, just put your hand on their back and just jog.
Yeah. Like, and it's funny. It's one of the few things that Collinsworth said tonight that he was right about. The rule now this year in the NFL is that you can't go for the legs on pulling offensive linemen.
The corner can't come up and just, you know,
take sacrifice the legs out.
Yeah, take the legs out. So yeah, they have to man up.
You're going to see a lot of those, I think, where you're going to have Ali Marpet going this way or Alex Kappa or Tristan Wirfs going the other way.
Brady did get sacked once, and I saw a lot of people on Twitter, I shouldn't say a lot, but a few people on Twitter sort of bang on Ronald Jones for that, and it wasn't Ronald Jones' fault. Ronald Jones did everything he could, to be honest. He actually broke off from the play fake to get at the guy, you know, coming in. Yeah, it might have been, but, you know, him and Kappa just kind of, you know, Kappa was late getting over. And I thought Jones did the best he could, and then their bodies just kind of, I think Kappa sort of bodied Jones out of the way initially, and then as the rusher's arc continued up the field, Kappa couldn't go with him because
Judon got him,
and now Jones was in his way, so it was just little Keystone Cops there, but I thought both efforts were good. It's not like anybody blew it or Judon really sort of beat them both. They just...
No, what Judon did is he used his speed to get past Donovan Smith because he came off the edge. He got across
No, that's not what happened. Donovan Smith crashed down. It was a protection where they pulled Kappa from the other side to pick up Judon, but he had such a good break on the ball... Ronald Jones broke off the play fake to go get him, and because Kappa wasn't there yet, and then sort of Kappa and Jones sort of got mixed into each other as Judon went, you know, I guess not north but up the field, and then so he got around him, getting around them both. So I think that was just kind of, like I said, a little Keystone Cops thing.
I thought the offensive line was strong. I thought getting Antonio and Brown involved early, other than, you know, the one big play that got called back due to Donovan Smith's elbow to the face, you know, upper arm to the face.
If you want to call holding, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I said that to Tom Jones, because I'm like, how do you get hands to the face when you don't have a hand on the guy's face? And he goes, and Tom Jones was like, well, technically it wasn't hands to the face, but that's still holding. I'm like, then call holding.
Holding, yeah. I mean, it's not hard, you know.
But
the hand's connected to the wrist bone. That's connected to the arm bone. I guess that's how they did it.
But Jones and I were joking that the referee was on the screen as much as Brady or Belichick was tonight.
Right.
Was it Bill Vinovich's birthday?
they really messed that game up, man. They muddied that game up really.
They
bad.
Are not going to get a Super Bowl assignment this
year.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? We'll see. Depends on who's in it, I guess.
That was bad.
That was really bad.
Let's hope the Patriots aren't any. Yeah, let's put it that way. Yeah. Defensively.
Yes.
JTS.
Good game. Sacks, first two of his career. Man, he's
monster.
He's quick.
He's quick. He's so quick. Of course, Vita Vea taking on double teams, triple teams, whatever he needs to push things forward and to try and make Mac Jones uncomfortable. I thought he was big. You know, and shout out to the guys that when Carlton Davis went down, that got stuck out there having to play over their heads.
I almost had a pick six, man.
Yeah.
I almost had a pick six to kind of seal the game there. Oh, and that pass that Devin White jumped. If Mac Jones was a better pass, like he threw it behind both of them.
I know. It was like, oh, God.
It's like your coverage was too good. If you would have broke later, he would have thrown it right to you.
Yep.
You know, it was like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Surprised there wasn't a penalty on that play either.
Yeah. So Cockrell, Desir, of course, Richard Sherman, who finished leading the team.
I have no problems with the way Sherman played.
No, I don't either.
No, I thought it was for 3 days practice. You know, it's like, yeah, I got no problem with that at all.
Seven tackles, all solo. Not bad.
Seven receptions.
Yeah. That's okay.
I don't think it was that many.
But I mean, you love seeing the pressure. You know, we saw 4 sacks. We saw Jones got hit 12 times in the game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They brought it. And we were hoping to bring it. And that's what Rob told us earlier in the week that you know, the offensive line just ain't protecting the guy. And they don't have in there, you know, Harris can't pick up the pass rush. That's why Bolden's in there.
Yep.
You know, because no James White. So, what he told us earlier in the week on our Wednesday show, well, the Tuesday show.
The Wednesday show on Tuesday because it's
the Tuesday on location special episode, Patriots episode show. Everything he said was right, man. You know?
Yeah.
So. We'll see. I don't, you know, who we got, the Dolphins?
Yep.
Who's their quarterback?
It's Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, of course it is. Another Patriot.
Yeah.
So Brissett, they didn't, you know, they got beat by the winless Colts without Quentin Nelson, without Wentz.
And I was going to say with Wentz with 2 bad ankles.
Yeah, Wentz didn't even play, right?
I thought he was active. I don't know. I have to go back and look. That was one of the games Colts. I didn't care. Yes, you lost. Yeah. You lost to the friggin' Indianapolis Colts. Absolutely horrendous. And so this is, yeah, Wentz did play.
Okay.
So
I guess, you know, so we got Brissett and then like Darnold, I think, maybe. Like,
yeah, the Panthers.
Our next like 3 or 4 opponents don't have great quarterbacks. So if there's a time of the year to sort of get the secondary banged up, and at least it's at it's at the softest part of the schedule. So those first 3 quarterbacks, that was rough.
Yeah, we've got Dolphins. Oh no, we have Eagles, and then the Bears.
Okay. So
we got Dolphins short week with the Eagles, and then in Philadelphia, and then Chicago.
All right. Well, I like her chances.
I do too.
Okay. So, do you have any notes?
I mean, my biggest note about this is to echo something that Corey said. You know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. This is a win.
Right.
You won this week. There are 16 teams in the league that didn't. So, including the New Orleans Saints at home to the New York Giants.
Sure.
And the Carolina Panthers. So
you bet on those 2 games?
I kind of did.
Okay. How'd you do? What are you, like, 1-what?
I'm 1-8.
What am I now?
So you went 7-2.
7-2?
Yeah.
Haven't lost since week 1?
Yeah, I haven't lost since week 1.
Yeah, and I'm like 11-0 on BetUS in real life.
Follow Ren's picks on.
Hey, listen, I'm going to finish up with this, and then I'll go give the benediction and get out of here. First off, if you want to support the show at all, do the BetUS thing. There's a promo code. Put in $50. It'll give you $125 to play with. DM me. I'll walk you through it. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. No big deal. I'm undefeated. I'm 11-0 this year. So we can do. It's the best way to help out the show because if so many of you sign up, then BetUS will stay with us for the rest of the year. Secondly, and you get to win money. So
exactly.
And, yeah. So and a lot of free money. So for me, you know, it's a win. I'm so glad they didn't lose to the Patriots. I don't care really what happened. Just don't lose to the Patriots. It's going to be interesting seeing how the Bucks sort of maneuver through and it's not going to be interesting to see who actually is hurt and how bad they are. But, you know, I don't think the Winfield concussion, if he's out a couple of weeks, I'm okay with that, with Edwards-Whitehead, you know, as long as those guys stay healthy, of course. Really worry about the Carlton Davis because he was having another good game. Well, they threw at him twice and he broke them both up and they called pass interference on one, which wasn't. So, you know, he was having, you know, being Carlton Davis, and I really wanted to see this cornerback combination of Sherman and Davis. That was going to be exciting to watch going forward. But, so that's what I got. You know, the Bucs tried to run the ball. They did. They won the game. Brady was a little herky-jerky. I don't know if it was him as the receivers. I'm sure we'll find out during the week if we haven't already because of the press conferences. And, sort of what you said. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. We win. Don't complain so much, but it's your fandom. Do what you want. And I also like what Corey said. Yeah, that was a Super Bowl mentality team right there. Because everything was going wrong for that team. And the wheels came off like six different times. Mm-hmm. And they kept putting them back on and putting them back on and putting them back on and found a way to win.
Hey, it's the NFL. It's as coaches will say, it's tough to win every week. You know, games are tough to win in the NFL. And every time that you win, you've got to feel good about yourself. Even if it's not... a game that you played particularly well in.
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. But if you think your tweet is too hot and don't want to put it out there on the Twittersphere, feel free to slide in my DMs and we'll talk Buccaneers football with you there as well too. Also betting.
Yes, definitely. Definitely DM Ren and ask for his picks. You can follow me on social media and you can laugh at my picks at Steve Carney. Again, stp9.com. For Rays stuff, the playoffs start this week in Major League Baseball. Should be a lot of fun. Thursday, Friday, I will be at the Trop for those games, but we will still have PewterCast on Wednesday and on Friday, and then again next weekend after the Bucks and Dolphins game. So like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, follow and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Leave us ratings and reviews. And until next time, until Wednesday, I should say, go buck yourself.